The number of people signing on for unemployment benefits for over a year in Ireland has risen significantly. According to new figures released by the country's Central Statistics Office, 50,000 people signed on for welfare assistance in the past year. There was also a slight increase in the live register, which shows nearly 500,000 people on unemployment benefits. Lydia O'Kane spoke to the Director of Social Justice Ireland, Father Sean Healy, about these latest figures.
But it's not unexpected, however, given the situation we're in. A lot of people become long-term unemployed by definition after 1 year of being unemployed. And those numbers are going to rise dramatically as people use up, if you like, the year of entitlements that they have financially and then have to sort of go on to means-tested payments, which happens after a year. And that's why there's quite an amount of changeover. We now have a situation where one in seven of all of the labour force is currently unemployed in Ireland, over 14.5%. And over half of those are long-term unemployed. They're unemployed for more than a year. Now, that's the there's two things to say. One of them is that that's the highest number of people that have ever been unemployed in Ireland, although the percentage was higher in the 1980s, but the population was much smaller. And the second thing is that as a proportion of those unemployed, the proportion who are long-term unemployed, now more than a year unemployed, is the highest ever. That there's over half of all those who are unemployed have actually been unemployed for more than a year. That's the highest proportion ever. And interestingly enough, it's a huge contrast from the situation we had only 3 years ago. 3 years ago, Ireland had an unemployment rate of just around 4%, like one in every 25 was unemployed, but only one in 100 was unemployed for more than a year. So it's a very, very different situation now to what we had, what we have today. Like we've, from a situation of having one in 100 of the labour force unemployed for more than a year, we now have like seven and a half more than, like almost eight people per 100 are unemployed for more than a year.
Just looking at the situation for somebody who is long-term unemployed, it can be a terrible situation with regard to people who are constantly sending out CVs, confidence-wise getting no replies, not hearing anything back, being turned away because they're not suitable for a particular job. It can be quite soul-destroying, can't it?
It can, of course. And I think that that's one of the great challenges that society faces, not just in Ireland, but across the world, because we're in a situation where people are being told that they must go out and seek a job, find a job, and get a job, if you like. And the problem they have is very simple. They try very hard. They send out CVs, as you say. They go and search all over the place looking for places they might find a job. But they find there are no jobs out there. And the problem, I think, that we're that one of the problems is that the response then of places like policy-making operations like the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, the World Bank, the European Central Bank, the European Commission, many others in governments across across countries, they wind up blaming the unemployed people for being unemployed. And they basically say these people are getting too much money. That's why they're not prepared to take up a job. When in actual fact, the real reason is the jobs aren't there in the first place. And the test of that, actually, a very good test of that, was the situation in Ireland. In Ireland, when there were jobs available up to 2008, the numbers of long-term unemployed were minuscule. Like they were down at 1% of the total labour force. Now, a high proportion of those people who were long-term unemployed had other problems. They had addiction issues or depression issues or mental health issues generally, or they had other kinds of problems, physical possibly, mental, whatever, other problems. And for the most part, you could actually say that there were jobs available for almost everybody who sought them. Interestingly, in that context, those jobs were taken up and our unemployment was one of the lowest in the Western world. Our long-term unemployed was absolutely the lowest of any country in the Western world. Now, what has suddenly happened 3 years later? We find ourselves with huge unemployment and huge numbers, as we said, of long-term unemployed, more than a year unemployed. But to blame the unemployed people, as is happening in many policy-making arenas, to blame them for their unemployment is absolutely ludicrous. So I think we have to face up to the fact that the model of development that we are using is not producing jobs on the scale required to ensure that there's jobs there for everybody who requires it. And then the challenge for the Catholic Church and those who support Catholic social thought, as we do in this organization, in Social Justice Ireland, the challenge then is to say, okay, on the one hand, we believe everybody has the right to work. On the other hand, there are not jobs there for them, and nor are there likely to be jobs for a great many of them for the foreseeable future. So how then do we reconcile people's right to work with the lack of jobs? Now, I think the solution lies somewhere in a different approach that recognizes, and I think this is very important that we must recognize, that there are many different types of work as well as paid employment. That paid employment is only one form of work. And if you want to think about it, like there are most of your listeners will know people who work very hard in the local community, for example, on a voluntary basis. And they do an enormous amount of work, and in many cases the community wouldn't hold together without the work that they do. Yet that's not paid work, but it is real work. Likewise, people do an enormous amount of work in the home, and that's very important. And that work is real work, but it is not remunerated. It does not paid in the sense of a paid job. And the result is, of course, that these kinds of work that are real work but not paid, these types of work are not respected. They're not recognized as real work by the state. They're not recognized as real work in many cases by the dominant culture, which sees only thing I work that's paid for as real work. And the result is that much of that work has to be done, but it is being done, but it isn't actually recognized. An example that where there's a very clear connection is in the whole area of caring. An enormous amount of work is done by people in caring for children, in caring for older people, in caring for people with disabilities, and that work is real work, but it is not remunerated, and yet the society does not pay any attention to it for the most part, in most cases, and does not recognize it, and certainly does not remunerate it in any way. Now, it seems to us that the challenge is to broaden out the understanding of work and let society recognize the importance of all sorts of other types of work besides paid employment. So anything work done in the home, work done in the local community, work done in the broader society or in support of issues in the broader society, like third world development work, those kinds of things, these should all be recognized as meaningful work. And then we would recognize that, in fact, in our world, there is enough work for everybody, so that their right to work is actually recognized. The problem with there's one other issue, of course, that people will come back to you immediately about. They will say, well, if that's the case, how do you deal with people's income? Because at this moment, they get their income through payment for a paid job. And what we would be saying to that is that the world needs to move beyond the kind of current approach that has been very good for the past century of payment for jobs, the way we've done it, and recognize that we need to sort of face up to the fact that the 21st century is quite different, and that what we need to do maybe is to think more laterally and to replace welfare systems and to replace tax credit systems and things and child payment systems like child benefit systems, and to replace them all with an overall basic income payment. A basic income being a payment that goes to every man, woman, and child, and less to the children, of course, and more to older people, but that is paid every week or every month, irrespective of anything else in the person's life. In other words, they get this payment whether they have a job or not, whether they're unemployed or not, whether they're elderly or not, whatever. And the other side of it, of course, then would be that they would pay tax on every penny that they actually earned for a paid job. They wouldn't lose this payment if they took up a job, but rather they would pay tax from the very first penny because their tax credits or tax breaks would not be there anymore. Now, that type of system is being looked at in quite a number of countries, and there's quite a lot of work being done on basic income across the world, both north and south. Some very good examples of a work being done on it in the south of the world as well as in the north of the world. And I think that somewhere in the combination of reinterpreting or broadening our understanding of work to mean all work, and on the other side, introducing a basic income system, in those two areas. I think in those two things, we get the capacity or we have the potential to resolve the kinds of ongoing hassle and struggle that people have with unemployment, seeking pay jobs when those pay jobs don't exist and so on. And one of the beauties of all of that is that you eliminate all poverty traps, all unemployment traps. It's a much simpler system, much more appropriate for the 21st century.
You just mentioned poverty there, and I just wanted to ask you, what kind of a knock-on effect is this long-term unemployment having on people who can't make ends meet?
It's going to lead to poverty, of poverty. We already have 1 in 7 in the country in poverty in Ireland, but it's actually 1 in every... it's more than that for children. 1 in every 5 children in the country is at risk of poverty. Now, when I talk about poverty, it's not something ephemeral. We're talking about it the way it's measured in the European Union. In all countries in the European Union, there's a standard way of measuring the poverty line in each country, depending on what the level of income is in the country and so on. And it's a standard version. In Ireland, in 2011, the poverty line is at €222 for a single person. That's 222. And then for a household of 4, it would be €515 a week. Now, if you take just the single adult, €222, the actual basic unemployment payment is only €188. So it's already €34 a week below the poverty line. Now, given that it's €34 a week below the poverty line, and that the numbers unemployed are rising, and the numbers of people who are depending on social welfare are rising quite dramatically, I think it's quite clear that what's going to happen here is that over the next couple of years, as the numbers are studied and researched and produced, we will see a rise in the numbers of people unemployed. That's obvious, that has happened already, but we will see a rise in the number of people in poverty as well. And I think that is one of the issues of the side consequences of this whole situation. And I think that that's another reason we need to look much more radically and much differently at the situation we find ourselves in with growing numbers in poverty. Like already, as I say, 1 in 7 of Ireland's population have incomes below that level, and it's going to rise. Now, in a context of Catholic social thought, which would recognise there's a right of every man, woman and child to have sufficient to live life with dignity. Human dignity is at the absolute core of the Catholic social thought. And within that, there's a recognition of the need for people to have sufficient to live life with dignity in their day-to-day lives. If that's the case, and I think that is the case within the Catholic social thought tradition, then I think there's a huge challenge to those of us who support it and advocate it and so on, to take it that step forward and ask ourselves, not be afraid of the answers we might come up with, ask ourselves, what do we need to do to ensure that every man, woman and child in society has sufficient to live life with dignity? And that the challenges are, in that context, are big because they demand that we think laterally. They demand that we think differently about the situation. But it's very important also to note that it's not impossible. The challenges are great, but they are doable. They are meetable. They are challenges that can be met effectively. We do have resources or sufficient resources to ensure that every woman, man and child in society has sufficient to live life with dignity. I think no question. We have. But the issue is that we don't have systems in place to deliver that outcome, and we don't seem to, at this moment yet anyway, have the political will to put those systems into place to ensure that every woman, every man and every child in society has sufficient to live life with dignity, even though overall society does have more than enough resources to ensure that situation or that outcome would emerge.